Daddy, where's the spatula?
Okay, kids, let's go.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
Hello everyone, welcome back to Retro Retro Retro.
Hold on, I gotta move my mic.
Crap, I can't see anything. this is the February? What is...
Yeah,
February.
It's February.
7th. 7th. Crap, I can't see the screen at all. Shit. Okay, I am your host. Fuck. Oh, my laptop screen's all burned out. Let's see. I'm your host, Raven J.
I don't give a shit! Shit! Shit!
And I'm joined by Trapper Keeper.
Hello.
And the Trapper Keeper holds all my trappers. This flap even has a Velcro closure to keep everything inside.
Boy, I've got to get a trapper and get my act together.
I got my act together.
Oh, man, this isn't good. Here, maybe I can do... Yeah, that worked. No, that doesn't work. Hold on. Sorry, folks.
We have a makeshift studio in my basement.
Yeah, I'm not. I've been mostly doing retro from my sister's house for the past 4 years. And now I don't really have a place to do it anymore. So when I'm at my place, we kind of have to like scrunch together and kind of sucks. But, so yeah, Retro is kind of a traveling circus now.
Well, I'm your one-man sideshow for today.
So, yeah, Trapper Keeper hasn't been on the show for...
too long.
Yeah, I think last time you were on was like a long time ago.
It was a while ago.
So, his wife's out of town, so he's got the house to himself, and he's like, hey, come party. I'm like, all right. So now we're recording a podcast.
This is how 30-somethings party.
So we had a pretty fun day. Like, we went out to Schaumburg, and we picked up a few things at some places.
Yeah, we went old video game and good movie hunting.
CD, DVDs.
And it went well. It went well.
I was going to mention the stuff I picked up. Ugh. Okay, the Dana Carvey Show, which was only like a season. And I remember watching it like a couple times, and I had one on tape. So my nephew recorded over it with, I can't remember. He recorded something really stupid over it. Anyway, Teenage Exorcist. This movie has a really awesome song. Same title.
That's got a really creepy movie cover.
Yeah, it's got Michael Berryman and Brink Stevens on the cover. Rob Zombie Halloween, the first one. It was only $3 on Blu-ray, so...
that's not bad, but...
Rob Zombie. Yeah. And I found... I'll say that one for last, because that's the best one. The movie from, like, 2001, Forsaken, the vampire movie. I've always liked that movie, but... And then I found Burial Ground, which... it's a really cheesy Italian zombie movie, but I love it. Then I got the EverDrive. I think I mentioned it on the show last time. Go to Stone Age Gamer and check out the EverDrive. They have them for pretty much all the old consoles, like TurboGrafx, Master System, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, Famicom. So yeah, go check them out. They're pretty expensive, but they're worth it.
Yeah, because you can play it on the original system. And then you can play basically every single game all off of one cartridge.
It runs off like a flash cart.
It rules.
Yeah. It high rules.
Yeah.
So tonight, we're just going to do kind of an impromptu show. We're going to cover, for the games segment, I guess we can just mix the topic with the games. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, because we were going to talk about artists, but we can, I guess.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have a topic, which are our favorite artists, because we're both artists ourselves, so we have a lot of influences. And for the games, we're going to talk about the Retron 5, which technically isn't a retro system, but it plays retro systems. So, kind of, what's that word? It is a loophole.
It transcends.
Yeah, it flies. And all right, so... what else? Oh, and the Play Choice.
The Play Choice 10.
Which Trapper Keeper has in his basement. All right. So I guess... and then the movie. We're only going to do one movie. Or no, two. We're going to do UHF and Toxic Avenger.
Toxic Avenger.
So, look forward to that. All right, so, yeah. Favorite artist. I'll let you go first, since I...
favorite artist. Well, right now, I'm definitely all about Simon Bisley. He did a lot of Judge Dredd comics. He did some Lobo comics. He's got a really amazing style. He like hand paints every single sheet, you know, like every single panel. And like at the end, he kind of goes over everything with colored pencils. And so it's got this like, he's really good at layering color. And it's got a real whacked out style. His proportions are just insane.
He reminds me of a more polished or acceptable Richard Corbin. I don't know if you know who Richard Corbin is.
I don't know Richard Corbin.
He his artwork is amazing, but it kind of falls into that like creepy realism. He did a lot of stuff in heavy metal back in like the 70s and 80s. And anyway,
to me, he's like a looser Frank Frazetta. That's like what I would place his style at. He's got really really refined technique, but he just is like, he's whack. The drawings are really like wackily proportioned and, you know, really bold.
I have a lot of favorite artists, and but off the top of my head, I'll just go out say like Jaime Hernandez. He's probably one of my biggest influences. He does Love and Rockets with his brother Gilbert, and it's been on an ongoing series since like early 80s. I want to say 85, maybe 82, something like that. And currently it's on its like third set of stories. But anyway, I just love his artwork. He draws like realistic things, and sometimes he mixes in like a Peanuts type style when like the main character Maggie, when they're referring to her childhood, it kind of looks like Peanuts instead of like his normal style. Anyway, Jaime Hernandez is one of my favorite artists. He's probably one of my biggest influences in the way I draw, or like how I try to draw, because back in the early 2000s, I wanted to just do nothing but black and white, because I didn't want to learn color and all that kind of stuff. And I'm still not good at color, but so I kind of try to model myself after that, but you know how it goes. People don't like to look at it unless it's flashy color. All right.
Yeah, no, I also really like Robert Crumb. So that we were just talking about Crumb today. I think as far as like most influential artists, I think Robert Crumb is, I just loved his art, man. Well, his comic, more like cartoony stuff, his cartoon animals. And I like the way he draws cars. He's just, everything's got this real like alive and bouncy. Like every single one of his drawings, I can like picture moving in motion. You know, I really, 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 really like it. Although it's influenced me, but I don't really draw anything like, I have a very different style. He's got a very like loose style, but he's just inspirational.
Yeah. Thing about Robert Crumb, like I was telling you earlier, like his stuff, when I first saw it, like, or when I was aware of it, when I was like a teenager, it kind of grossed me out. Just, Like sometimes he would always draw like these chicks, and like you could see their nipples through their blouse or their shirt, and it, just the way he drew nipples, and all of it combined just creeped me out back then. And but I mean, I still respected him. Like I got really into him back in like 2006, 2007, and but since then I've kind of gotten over it. It's like, it's cool to see it, and totally respect him as an artist. And plus, I think his career speaks volumes, but I don't know. I'm kind of babbling now. Yeah, Robert Crumb rocks.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a little bit more the opposite. Like, he was very influential for me, but now I kind of don't really pay much attention, kind of like how you are now. Like, I really, really liked him, and now I find his stuff a little bit more like, you know, a little too perverted for my taste today, but you know, as a kid, I really liked it a lot. But you know, I don't really, it's not someone I go to as much nowadays.
Oh, this is what I was originally gonna start the show with.
Hi!
So, welcome to the show. another artist, I don't know. Arthur Adams was a pretty big influence in my life, or my art. But first, I guess Todd McFarlane, I would credit him as like making me want to draw, because my first comic was actually Amazing Spider-Man 300, where he first fought Venom, and I didn't know it at the time. It was gonna be such a milestone and all that, but just the way he drew like Spider-Man, like with his legs like over his head sometimes, and like the webbing detail and all that. I don't know. I credit him as my stepping stone to start drawing.
No, he's good.
And I don't really like his artwork now at all. It's just, back then and stuff.
Holy shit.
Holy shit!
Whoa! Holy shit!
Okay.
I like Sam Keith, the Max.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jim Mahfood, who drew Clerks. It's a lot of good artists, man. Jamie Hewitt, the
Tank Girl.
As far as like people whose art I like to look at, I like to look at Jamie Hewitt's art like for long periods of time. I love his detail yet simplicity. He's very, very talented. He also draws the gorillas.
Yep. Winsor McKay, the guy who drew Little Nemo.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, and to think like he did those page spreads like every Sunday, or like there was a new one every Sunday for the paper, and plus he did like the Rarebit Fiend and Little Sammy Sneeze and like a bunch of other ones, and then like Gertie the Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. And I kind of Norman Rockwell. I have like a couple of his books, and just like when I look at his artwork, like he paints, and he used models, you know, to get that look and everything, and like he'd paint from the model, kind of like Gil Evergreen, and like, you know, everyone that used models. So anyway, it's just amazing that. Like, when I first saw it, I thought, like, he was just doing it from his head, you know? Like, he knew what things look like. Even, like, mixing the paint to get that certain color and all that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the kind of stuff that, like, baffles my mind. Like, when you see an artist that can do something like that. And it makes me think deeper into, like, what, you know, how they actually think. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But
yeah.
But yeah, I guess I just mentioned too, Winsor McKay and Norman Rockwell.
All right. I think that's the artist.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll be back in a second with video games.
Against the world.
Me against the world.
It's me against the world.
through the mortar. I know you see it wrong, the cover don't belong. I'm holding tight, don't you push me too far. Yes, me against the world, don't you push me too far. Yes, me against the world. Me against the world.
With a wacky Cooper neck, that bears the rule of a wild twist or top. That's a whole new spin. A squishable bottle that always makes a splash. And the fantastically fruity Kool-Aid flavor that makes Kool-Aid Cooper soft drink. The bottle that's a blast.
Wacky wild
Cooper.
The bottle that's a burst beyond.
Aren't you a little old for video games?
Absolutely not.
No! So, welcome back. Tonight, we're going to do a couple of reviews. First, we'll start off with the Retron 5, which, this is funny, like, oh, we're reviewing this now when, like, people have been reviewing it for the past 2 years.
But hey...
Anyways, yeah, we have one right in front of us, and I've had it since it came out, and I just recently sold it to Trapper Keeper, because basically it's been sitting in my closet for 3 months. The Retron 5 is fucking awesome. It plays, I can't remember how many, like...
It plays a lot. It plays Famicom, Super Famicom, NES, Super Nintendo, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color. Did I miss anything?
I think that's it.
It's everything.
Maybe. But you can also put the add-on thing to the Genesis slot.
Oh, the Sega
to play
Genesis.
Master
yeah,
System.
Yeah, I don't think I said Sega Genesis. So yeah, Genesis, and then you can put the...
Mega Drive. Yeah. The apparatus. Apparatus. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, the controller it comes with, although, like, when you first touch... I mean... I remember you and Adam both were like, like.
The controller is, the problem with the controller is, first of all, it's an analog stick, and the controller has really good feedback, like the buttons, like you said, but it's not comfortable in your hand. It's like sharp.
It's like a giant square.
Yeah, like it just like, it's not ergonomic. Like, I don't understand why they didn't. I don't know why they did what they did.
Why'd you do what you did when you did what you died?
They should have beveled some corners. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right. I liked it because of the clicking.
Yeah, like, I agree. That's what I like about like the quick shot, the NES quick shot. That's my favorite thing about that. It's like the pilot stick.
Ugh.
The only thing I liked about it that is that awesome, you know, like force feedback that you get.
Yeah, I was showing what. So yeah, like it's pretty cool to have. It was going for when I got it, it was like $130. How much is it going now?
Same. Yeah, it's still. The thing is sometimes they're a little bit harder to get. You see them for more though on eBay. But I actually haven't seen them in a lot of retro stores that I've gone to. So the stores around here haven't been really stocking them. So that I've seen.
Plus, there was the thing with they stole the emulator. Was it ZNES or something like that?
Yeah, there was a little bit of there was some speculation that production might have to be stopped because the guys who
let the boys be boys.
There were some guys who basically were the guys who made like a lot of the emulators on the internet who said basically that their code was ripped directly and used, which would be against the whatever copyright FCC. They have.
Everyone I know has a big butt.
But they used it anyway.
Oh yeah, so yeah, check it out. It's pretty awesome.
And we tested it out. And we played. We played Famicom games, Super Famicom games, NES games, Super Nintendo games. It played it really well, and you can plug your controllers in, so you don't have to use the crappy provided controllers. And you can do Game Genie codes with an SD card, and
it's a HDMI. And you can so all you people that record games that way, or like upload to YouTube and all that kind of crap, that's a perfect thing for you, I guess. And like Trapper Keeper said, you can plug in your original controllers, but you only have two slots for each. So, you know. And then you can play the Game Boy with any... Actually, if you plug in if you have a Super Nintendo controller plugged in, you can play the NES with it or the Sega with it. It's kind of weird, but... It's a pretty cool system. You can change, like, the way the screen looks, so you can make it look like a retro... kind of lines in the screen feel, or you can round out the graphics somehow with different filters. So those are kind of cool too. Overall, like the system itself, it's like really light. It feels kind of cheap, but for all that it does, it's pretty cool. I'd hate to open it and find like this little tiny.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like if you open it up, like all the hardware inside that thing is like, you know, the size of a Dixie cup. Like, I just think it's
like an onion with a magnet in it. Like some clamps up to it.
One of those potato clocks.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So check it out.
We give it a thumbs up. I
give it a 5 out of 7.
I give it a 3.5 out of 4.2.
So, all right. So let's talk about the Play Choice 10. Is that the one you have?
The Play Choice 10. So, this is basically a Nintendo arcade cabinet. So when Nintendo was, you know, trying to sell more games, they came out with this arcade machine. So it would give people an opportunity to test out games before they bought them. You know, they basically put them in arcades and in, you know, gas stations, things like that. And the arcade machine itself, you can put different cartridges in. So most of them are pretty much exact replicas of the NES game. There's some subtle differences, but you know, and the way it worked is, you basically paid for time. So, you know, you put 5 minutes on the clock, 10 minutes on the clock, whatever the, you know, proprietor like put on it for time that you got for a quarter, and then, you know, you just got to play. And the cool thing was is you could actually switch between the different games, so it'd be 10 different games on the system. If you bought, you know, 10 minutes, you could play 5 minutes of Mario Brothers, 5 minutes of Excitebike. I was expecting another laugh.
Yeah. I'm slow on the draw. Okay, so
yeah, but I have one. I when I first ran across, when I first heard about it, I knew I had to have one because the Nintendo's my favorite system. And I've gotten into it. There's two different models. There's a dual screen and there's a single monitor. And on the dual screen, basically, so one of the things about the Play Choice is you can look at basically like a instructions. There's a button you can hit that'll teach you how to play each game. It'll kind of give you a little, you know, synopsis of what the game's about, how to play it, and then also like some of them give you like some hints or, you know, little tips on how to play the game. On the dual monitor, that menu is on the top of the screen. Yep. and the game is on the bottom screen. And then, like, what I have is a single monitor where the menu is just, like, you know, within the one screen. So once you hit the menu button, you're in the menu. When you're not, you're playing the game. I personally think the dual screens are kind of pointless. I don't understand why they...
Yeah, they don't link right.
Yeah, I don't understand why you need a whole separate screen for a menu. Like, I just think it's, like, a waste of
material. Taxpayers' money.
No. Oh. But I think... But those cabinets were also used as, like, punch-out machines. Mm-hmm. So I think... I don't know if maybe they were converted from punch-out machines, or I don't know the history on that, but I know it's the same cabinet. You know, that arcade punch-out was dual. I said dual monitor.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I like the concept of it, but I hate arcade sticks when I'm trying to play a game that I originally played on a controller. That's my only faux pas with it.
Yeah, I can see that. See, I have kind of the opposite. Like, I wanted it because I really like the arcade experience. I like to sit in front of an arcade cabinet. It feels like, I don't know. It's more of an experience. I like it. I like the feel of it. So I think it's kind of fun to play these games that, you know, it's kind of like a new way to play them.
Yeah, in a way, I'm really not dissing it. I think it's cool, and I'm glad you have it. But like I said, I'd rather play Nintendo on a Nintendo and blah blah, blah,
yeah,
with a controller. But
I really got my money's worth. I feel like I actually play it.
Did you mention
a lot.
What ones you have? What games you have?
Oh, man. I don't even know.
Did you have a bootleg DuckTales, too?
I do not.
Oh.
I have Mario 1, 2, 3, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Rygar, Balloon Fight, Captain Skyhawk, Track and Field, Baseball, Baseball Stars.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have... what's that football one? Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
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 Yes. I also have Double Dribble. I said Double Dribble. Double Dribble.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I know.
He's cranky today.
I have Contra. Double Dragon.
Oh, nice.
Contra, Double Dragon.
What a story, Mark.
I was thrown off because he called me Mark.
This beef curtain stands alone!
Do you...
I also have Goonies. I have a lot of games for it. I'm trying to just move on. Trying to move past the meat curtain.
Oh, what the hell was that?
What are your thoughts on the play chase?
We beat Turtles 2 on it one time.
We did.
With you. I mean, I beat it while you kind of stood in the corner.
Well, you know, I was there. I think I took down a couple of guys. Yeah, Raven did do 99% of the work. Because I was scared.
It's okay, buddy. We did it together. But yeah, it was the first time you ever beat that, right?
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah, Play Choice 10, like I said, it's pretty cool. I would never own it myself, but... I played it, you know, I get a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I get a 10 out of 10.
All right. We do our own damn scales.
Well, it was a Play Choice 10. I had to 10.
I got it.
And that's realer than real deal Holyfield.
So I guess we're done with the games.
Yeah.
All right. See you in a few.
Movie time.
Yeah, we just keep going right now.
Right.
you remember that movie?
So, first off tonight, we're covering UHF from 1989, I believe. I was going to pull up the trailer really quick. Well, talk.
Oh, I thought you were pulling up the trailer. Yeah, UHF was a great movie with Weird Al Yankovic. And it's a parody movie where he parodies a lot of some of the movies that were coming out at the same time, and then also just, you know, everything else that Weird Al parodies. Plus, it's just a really good movie.
Yep. I saw it too. This show is awesome. All right.
You still haven't found the trailer?
Yeah, it's right here. Hold on. I can't open my eyes. Here we go.
It's coming.
Oh, this is not the right one. Okay, this got to be it. Wait. Yeah. Let's try this one.
Hey, Stanley.
Yes.
Yeah, George. How would you like your own TV show?
Okay.
Channel 62 needed a new station manager.
No, not him. Forget it. No way.
Well, this is even better than I imagined.
But what they got was a man so desperate for ratings.
Today, we're teaching poodles how to fly.
He put anyone on the air. It's Weird Al Yankovic in UHF. Rated PG-13 starts Friday, July 21st at theaters everywhere.
Yeah. So, what the fuck? Oh, there it is.
Let's make some history.
You're talking about bringing someone back from the dead.
It had a twist ending.
I'm so sick of... They should give you the option, like, right away not to watch commercials. On freaking YouTube. Oh. So, yeah. Damn it. Yeah, turn it down. Alright. I was gonna bring up the IMDb one. So
UHF. Kramer was in it.
Yeah, Michael Richardson.
And he did a really good job in the movie. A lot of good physical comedy. He played Stanley Spadowski? Is that what his name was?
So, this is the theme song from it. Also sung by Weird Al. Go figure. And I never got the soundtrack because I remember seeing it a couple times at one of our local stores. I had almost all his other albums, though. I didn't have the first one. But I had Dare to be Stupid in 3D. Even worse, Polka Party. A couple of other ones too. But I never got this one. And like, I knew there was one because, you know, watching the movie, there's like exclusive songs that weren't on his albums. Especially this one. But yeah, so this movie is awesome. It's about George. Yeah, it's George Newman. George, here, I'll find it. I got the IMDb.
Newman, I think you're right.
His uncle was Harvey Bilchick. I remember that. So yeah, George Newman. Yep. So Victoria Jackson was in this also as his girlfriend, Jane Terry. That's what I meant. So it's about George Newman, who, him and his friend, they worked at like a fast food place and they got fired, you know, because George has an overactive imagination. Like, he's constantly in a daydream about grand things. And so he's like, I think he burnt some meat or something. So like the big fat chick they work for kicked him out. So then they're back at their apartment, and his friend's like, Georgia, you gotta focus, man. This is the 7th job we lost this month. And like in the meantime, he's just like making a Twinkie wiener sandwich.
To cheer him up.
Yes. So, and they live next to a karate studio as well. So there's always like a foot or a hand coming through the wall. And we'll talk about that guy in a minute if we remember. But so his uncle acquires a UHF station in a gambling match. So, you know, his uncle's like, I'm not going to run this stuff. So he's just going to cancel the place. But his aunt's like, Harvey, why don't you give him the station? He's like, what? George? Are you serious? So...
You should just act out the whole movie.
Oh, and there's this one part where he's like, hey, oh, yeah, I was like, hey, mister. Let me remember. It's a bomb.
You got change.
Yeah.
You got change, he's like, for a dollar.
He like goes, gives him a penny. He's like, don't spend it all in one place. He goes like,
Wow, mister, thanks a lot.
And like, I guess it was a penny that was worth like $1 million.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I've ever seen this actor, who was in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Shit, what's his name? I don't even know.
What actor?
Oh, R.J. Fletcher, okay. Kevin McCarthy is the guy's name, the actor. R.J. Fletcher. So George starts running the station, and, you know, it's just running like old reruns from the 50s at the time, and just weird, like public access type things.
Yeah.
So then George gets the bright idea. Oh, because he's got a janitor. Oh, the janitor got fired from the actual cable station, who was Michael Richardson, Stanley Sabadowski. And George gets a package that was meant for them. So he brings it to them. And that's the day that Spadowski's getting fired for nothing, really. And you find out R.J. Fletcher is like a villain. And so George...
Hires Stanley. Feels bad for him.
So one day, George also hosts like the stupid kids show that's just really tanking.
Mr. Nutsy's Funhouse?
Yeah, Mr. Nutsy's Funhouse. And like one day he just like breaks down on the broadcast. He's like, why even try, kids? So he like walks off and he's like, Harry, he's like, oh, his friend's like, what are we going to do about the show? He's like, you want to be on the show? To Stanley's like, oh, I'll try, George. So he goes out there and becomes a big hit.
He tries and he succeeds.
Yes. So I remember one part that me and my nephew kept rewinding was like, he's like, oh, this is a good one. This one reminds me of like poop. Anyway, so it basically the channel 62 becomes huge because Stanley Spadowski's Funhouse. And they start beating the major cable company in ratings. So, of course, R.J. Fletcher tries to sabotage everything. And basically what it comes down to is Harvey Bilczek gets in trouble with the mafia.
For gambling.
And he needs to sell the station or raise whatever the amount was. Or they're going to break his thumbs or his legs or his nuts. So, neck and ass. So he tells George, he's like, look, you got to get the money or I'm going to sell it to R.J. Fletcher. So they do a telethon. And it's a bunch of weird shit. But so anyway, that's basically what it leads to. And then it's up to you, the listeners, to go watch this.
And it's well worth it. And there's some really hilarious...
shows they come up with.
Yeah, just like different programming and like little, like they'll have like little fake TV spots for, you know, programming that's on the network, and it's really funny. You know, it's Weird Al, you know, parodying without music. It's great.
Let's just try. Here we go. I have a couple for you. After this commercial.
After we get sold insurance.
Never before in the history of motion pictures has there been a screen presence so commanding, so powerful, so deadly. He's Conan the Librarian.
Can you tell me where I can find a book on astronomy?
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System? Conan the Librarian.
I'm sorry. These books are a little overdue.
Conan the Librarian. Tonight, only on U62.
Freaking splits them in half. Okay, here's another fun one.
Next week on U62. He's back. And this time, he's mad. Gandhi 2. No more Mr. Passive Resistance. He's out to kick some butt. This is one bad mother you don't want to mess with.
Don't move, slime ball.
He's a one-man wrecking crew. But he also knows how to party. Hey, come on, Mama. Here we go.
Give me a steak, medium rare.
Hey, Baldy!
There is only one law. His law. Gandhi 2.
This seemed kind of unstable. Somebody was like, hey, Baldy! And he takes out a machine gun. Anyway. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like this. Like, there's Bowling for Burgers. There's the Wheel of Fish with this karate studio guy next door. Suni, maybe his name is. Or anyway, so, but he's always got this thing where he's like, hiya, George! And then he's always training these guys that seem incompetent. So he's like, stupid! You're so stupid! And then he also does that in the Wheel of Fish. What else is there? Raul's Wild Magic.
Raul's Wild Magic.
That was an unnecessary tongue twister. So, let's see if I have it.
It's dangerous to Google Raul's Wild Magic.
Where are you, fuck? Oh, here. So, yeah, this movie is awesome.
Backspace.
Wild King, yes. Alright, sorry, folks. Here we go. Raul's Wild Kingdom. Yes, I was right.
Hey man, this is Raul Hernandez and welcome to Raul's Wild Kingdom, coming to you live from my apartment. How about that, huh? Okay, first thing we're going to do today is check out the wonderful world of turtles. This is my friend Tommy. Tommy, say hello to the nice people.
Hello.
Ha, isn't he great, huh? Okay, so the turtle is a member of the reptile family and it's got this hard protective shell, which keeps predators away, also provides him with his own home when he sleeps. Oh, and he's got these tiny, teeny little legs, which makes him move real slow. And not too many people know this, but the turtle is also nature's suction cup. Watch this. Did you see that? It sticks! Huh? Okay, oh yeah, what else I got for you? Yeah, check this out. This is my ant farm. Now, ants are amazing. They can carry 50 times their own weight, and they work for weeks and weeks building this inch.
I'm going to pause it for a second. This guy's apartment is full of animals and just shit everywhere. Like, not literally shit and other shit. Like, think how bad that place smells. And like, his neighbor's like, Raul, shut the fuck up. He's like, Car-car-car-loo. And whatever aardvark noises make.
Tricky little tunnels.
Oh, yeah. They hate it when you do this. Oh, look!
They're really mad now.
Where did you find this guy?
Me? I thought you hired him.
So, yeah. It's a fucking awesome movie. Weird Al was a comic genius. He was always one of my favorite musical artists when I was growing up. My brothers used to give me shit about, like, he don't even sing his own songs. I'm like, oh, on the contrary. So then I get my ass beat. Why are you using those big words, you little turd? You get beat up by your brothers?
I don't have any brothers. Oh,
sorry, man. Sorry to bring up the sore subject. So what do you think about Weird Al? God, it's like Muttley. It really rottens. Retro. So what do you think of UHF?
I think UHF was a fine film. I enjoyed it a lot. I watched it a lot when I was a kid, and it's just a great movie. It's one of those movies you can watch, you know, a lot, and I have watched it a lot. So. That's what I think.
Okay, Toxic Avenger.
Next movie.
Trailer.
Please.
There we go, shit. What the hell? Sorry, it's not giving you everything you don't ask for.
The next movie we're doing is
The Toxic Avenger from 1984, I believe. I actually remember seeing this in the theater.
Really?
I was a little kid, and the only thing I remember from it is when they ran over that kid's head. Mm. Spoiler alert. But I remember seeing that as a kid, and I remember, like, whoever I was with were telling me to, like, not watch and, like, not pay attention to it or something like that. And I just remember, like, being, like the car I was in or something. I think it was a car, but I could, like, sit under in between the seat and the, like, back seat, you know, like the front seat, mm-hmm. like that little area. Like, I fit in there. So anyway, I saw that part. And I remember it till this day. Like, I got a really good memory when it comes to all this.
Well, plus, shit. You know, it's not every day someone that size sees someone get their head run over. So,
yeah, I don't think I even knew what the hell it was at the time.
Yeah, I looked away, like right at the moment where the kid's head gets run over. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and there's like cuts where they like add more to it and everything.
But you know, as far as a trauma film, this movie's done really well.
No, they tricked me.
Yeah.
All right, because it seemed like it was the movie just starting. Then all of a sudden, right when I go to find something else, it's like, then it starts. Fuck. No, I don't want the Toxic Avenger 4 trailer. All right, this has to be it.
Yeah, there was a lot. They made a lot of these.
Only bad, evil people have been destroyed by the monster. I would have to answer your question, yeah. From traces that have been found on the scenes of the crime. Joy, evil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sick of this. All right, so the Toxic Avenger has a trailer out there somewhere.
That was a really good trailer.
No, it wasn't. All right, so basically this movie is about Melvin Junko, who is a mop boy at the local gym in Tromaville, which just a couple years prior had a little incident with their nuclear power plant in high school. So that's all kind of candy-coated over with this movie. It's a corrupt city, Tromaville. We got a big fat mayor that's very corrupt. We got toxic waste.
Haulers.
Anyway, so Melvin, there's this group of fuckheads, or, you know, like teenagers that are like just cruel and
Dude, they're like psychotic.
Yes.
There's like two couples that are absolutely psychotic.
And they trick Melvin into thinking one of the chicks wants him, and so they make him wear a tutu and as one of the stipulations for her to, I don't know, get busy with him or whatever.
Because she likes pink.
Oh, yeah. And they lure him into the pool area, and like he thinks he's kissing Julie. He's like, "Ooh, Julie. Then they turn on the lights. He's kissing a goat, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's embarrassed, and he starts running away. And he dives through a window into some toxic waste that's just conveniently in a truck.
Yeah, with some drivers who are extremely coked up.
So they, or he falls in the vat of toxic waste and runs away burning. And then at home, he turns into the Toxic Avenger.
He becomes very mutilated and very muscular.
I'm mixing all the taglines together. The first superhero from New Jersey. I can't fucking think. All right, Toxic Avenger. Basically, he goes and kills people that are doing wrong or doing dirty deeds.
Yeah, he's
dirt cheap.
He's sort of like a superhero, except he uses zero discretion.
Kind of like the Punisher.
Yeah, so if you did something bad, he's going to hurt you really, really bad. So, you know, his whole now duty in life is to take out the bullies, who are also the psychos, and, you know, save the town from their evil mayor. And in the process, he meets a very beautiful blind woman.
Yes.
Who he helps save from some hooligans, who he really teaches a lesson to. And then he falls in love with this girl, and she's blind, and...
Oh, you want 50?
Can't see how hideous he is.
Hey! What are you doing? Let me go! You want 50? I'll give you 50! You want 50? I'll give you 50!
You ever seen that? From Ren Snippy? When they're posing as babies. And the babies came back. The babies came back.
I take it it's funny.
They're so fat and weird looking. They're like aliens. Like their head is like, it's like their brain's trying to jump out the back of their head. And they got like, seriously, you got, look, come here and look. Look at this. Look how creepy that is.
What?
So yeah, they beat Run Up.
That was such a funny cartoon.
You blew our cover! I want my 50 back! Come on! Give it to me!
Oh, Okay. So, what were we talking about?
Toxic Avengers. So, yeah.
I love this movie. It was followed up in, like, 1988 by Toxic Avenger 2, where he goes to Tokyo to try to meet his real father and save stuff.
I like that movie as well.
I remember they had a cartoon back in the early 90s called the Toxic Crusaders, and Playmates actually did the toy line. So yeah, they looked a lot like...
He also got an NES game.
Yes. And a Sega Genesis.
Oh, I never played the Sega Genesis one.
I haven't either, but... So, there was that cartoon, which was really weird to make a children's cartoon out of an R-rated movie. Yeah. And, but I think I knew a Toxic Avenger before that, but being a teenager at the time, I was like, oh, I want to find out the real thing. Mm-hmm. So, I had my sister rent Toxic Avenger 1 and 2 at the local grocery store, and I had to babysit my nephew that night, and we watched both of them. Well, we watched Toxic Avenger 1, and we're both kind of scared because it's almost a horror movie, like some just kind of how it feels, like how he looks, especially when you're a kid. You don't really differentiate, even though like they say he's a good guy, he still looks like a monster.
He's pretty rough around the edges.
So but all in all, like, the Toxic Avenger is a pretty iconic character. It's like one of Troma staples. It's a movie that Lloyd Kaufman directed, and that Troma actually, it's their wheelhouse. Like, a lot of their movies, they just acquire from other people. Like, people sell them the distribution rights and all that kind of stuff. So, they have a huge catalog of movies, but they've only maybe are responsible themselves for maybe 10. And some were really cool, like Romeo and Juliet and Surf Nazis Must Die.
Yeah, Troma themselves make very high quality movies. Well, I'm compared to a lot of the stuff they release.
Yeah.
Troma's War. What?
Troma's War. Oh, it's pretty amazing. It's fucking retarded, but
the thing is, I've seen a lot of Troma movies and they're all extremely, you know, on a budget. You know, the Troma produced ones though are, you know, like usually of a better caliber, you know. Like, I was impressed with some of the special effects, especially when Melvin's changing into Toxie.
If I remember right, I think that the same makeup artist worked on Street Trash, this other movie. Anyway, sorry.
they do a good job, you know. And if you know, it's for this type of movie, you know, for a B-rate, like, you know.
Yeah, chicken butt. So, Toxic Avenger is pretty cool. It's on Netflix right now. If y'all want to go over and check it out, and I think on their YouTube channel, they have it on there, but I'm not sure. They have like a ton of movies though, and they're all free to watch. So, head on over to troma@youtube.com or whatever. Speaking of Troma, they're releasing Rabbit Grannies on Blu-ray next month. Our mutual friend John, who was on the show last month. Oh, speaking of Remy Troma, anybody listened to the last show where we had special guest Magic Man on? I am glad to inform you that the helicopters did not come for him. He is safe and sound, and he will join us back on Retro somewhere down the line. All right, so Rabbit Grannies is coming out next month, and actually Chris Swarkocki told me about it. Anyway, and they're announcing that's a producer's cut, which sucks because I have they say it's like never before seen. I have that producer's cut. They released it in like Germany like 2 years ago, so I have a couple copies of it. I have a German 2-disc and I have a German like 1-disc. The one disc is the one that just came out. The one I had before, it actually had the uncut gore that was cut out of the Troma version, which is the only North American release we have. So I'm anxious to see like what they put back into it and what they take out, which really sucks. And they say like there's a bunch of bonus features and crap, which I've also seen from the other DVD, but you know, whatever.
So on the other DVD is like all that extra stuff can, you said it's import.
Mm-hmm.
So can you understand, like, is it dubbed over?
Yeah.
You
know, that was the big stigma behind it. Cause back in the day, people were saying like the only true uncut version of the film has hard coded subtitles on it. Cause, I think the original version of the movie itself was dubbed in English as a distribution around the world, but they would add on subtitles for other languages.
Mm.
But there is like a Dutch version or something like that. But anyway, shit, what was I saying? So the uncut version, they were saying like you can't ever see it without hard coded subs, but that's not true because on the DVD I have, all you have to do is turn the subtitles off, and you get the whole movie in English dialogue with all the gore. And the gore is pretty specific. I guess we're doing reviewing fucking Robert Grannies now. This is all I really have to say about it. It's like, I appreciate this movie and its dirty, gritty look to it.
It's very gritty. It kind of creeped me out. I turned it off when I watched it.
I turned it off originally when I first seen it. Even the trauma VHS that I had. Like halfway through, I was like, I can't handle this anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't handle it. It was too creepy.
So, man, that's so distracting. So it's coming out next month, and I'm kind of anxious to see what they do to it. I want to see how it looks in high definition. If it, you know, they did anything to it, actually, and just put it out on Blu-ray. So yeah, I guess that's the movie review. Trauma has some cool stuff. I guess we can end the show.
Sounds good.
Might as well.
I think it was a good show. We laughed. We didn't cry.
Yeah. Stuck a needle in our eye. Yeah. Horse manure pie. Horse manure? Shit, let me close this out really quick. Do you have any plugs? Your ISO game?
I'm going to be releasing a iPhone game very soon. Hopefully in February yet, called Mario Italiano 4 Families. You can look it up at MarioItaliano4Families.com or MarioItaliano.com. You can go to BooyahSquad.com.
I'll post all the links to these on the show notes on the Podbean website. And, so people can link to them and crap.
And that's my plug.
He was showing me it earlier. It looks pretty cool. I don't understand games yet, like card game type based stuff. But
it's a card battle game. So if you're into deck building and, you know, stats, that's the type of game it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that like that stuff. So I think I'm going to do well. I am going to be at MightyCon, I think February 21st or 22nd, whatever that Saturday is in February, in Wheaton, Illinois. I'm not sure. It's just like a kind of a small comic convention. I'm going to share a table with Martha Jones. She did a book called, oh boy. shit, what was it called? Oh my God. Oh, she doesn't hear this. But yeah, she's a pretty cool author. It's something funny. Like, kind of witty funny. All right, we better end the show. Check out my website, unsure.com. If you need to check out Retro Retro Retro, you probably already checked it out. That's how you're listening. That bugs me. All right, I listen to a lot of podcasts. It's funny, they have whoever their guest is go, "Hi, this is so and so, and you're listening to it." Like, no fucking shit. You know, it's like, okay, that's a commercial for you, but they're already listening to your show. You don't need to run a commercial for your show. So I will never do that. If Oh, we need to make a commercial for Retro 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 so I can give it to other podcasts. Maybe that.
You heard it here first on Retro Retro Retro.
Oh, but I have another podcast called Alakazam. It's also available on the Retro 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 Podbean site, but it's also going to have its own eventually. But it's my other podcast. It's about the same, basically the same thing, but we get to talk about everything. We're not just being restricted to 2000 and beforehand. All right, so that's about it. This is Raven J.
Oh, don't give a shit.
And this is the Trapper Keeper.
And the Trapper Keeper holds all my trappers.
All right, see you next month, folks.